The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. You know, it turns out that if you're going to have children one day, you need to go ahead and put those children on a list for being in a preschool or child care setting. So if you're in middle school now, you need to go ahead and get your kids on a list. Because apparently most parents know this. My wife and I did not. And so when we started thinking about having children, well, we were in graduate school, and then I became a pastor in North Carolina, and we still didn't realize it. So about the time she was 3 months pregnant, we started looking for preschools and daycares, and they were all full. So, not being able to find anything or anyone to take care of our child, I became a stay-at-work dad for the first 9 months of my oldest daughter Rachel's life. She would come to work with me every day. And, well, it's hard for somebody like me to get up and get out in the morning, especially when, at the time, I was going to a church where I was the only person on staff. I was the only person there. And so it was hard for me to get out. And it was doubly hard for me to get another little human being out and ready as well. And so sometimes, well, instead of getting ready early in the morning, we would sort of lounge around in bed. And, you know, I would feed her a bottle. And sometimes we might drift back to sleep. And let's just say that happened one day. And I had dozed off. And all of a sudden, I was awoken with a horrible sound. It sounded something like this. I sprung up, looked around, my child was not there. So I jumped out of bed, only to find her laying silently on the floor. Now, if you know anything about medical stuff, a silent baby is not good. But don't worry, she was okay, it's just that her cry hadn't caught up yet. You know, she was like, and it did catch up, and so did mine. So we're both going around the house crying because, you know, I had let my baby roll off my very tall bed and hit the floor, and I just knew that she would be ruined for life. Well, you know, just so you know, she's now in college. She graduated high school with honors. She's reasonably okay, you know. But that was probably one of the first big parenting mistakes I've made, and that was 18 years ago. Let's just say I've made a couple since then. You know, like, I've lost my temper for no reason or blamed the wrong child for something else. Maybe I've made a promise and didn't come through with it. And yes, I admit before you all now, sometimes I cave. You know, maybe, you know, when they come begging and I say no, and they come back, no, and they keep coming. Coming. Daddy, 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 please, daddy, 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 please, 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 let me, I want, daddy, daddy, daddy. And eventually, I give in. Now, I know you judgy people out there, no means no all the time. Well, good for you. I, however, sometimes, you know what? Sometimes they win the argument. They convince me. Other times, I just change my mind. I'm entitled. I'm the dad. Sometimes I am just so tired and worn out, I just don't even want to have the argument. So, you know, just fine. But then there are other times I just want them to shut up so I can have some peace. Now, I know that this can cause problems in the future. I mean, it can cause an argumentative child that will argue with a brick wall. She missed that. It could cause a child to feel spoiled or entitled to everything. I know all this. But sometimes, you know what? I'm not perfect. And I do this because I'm a human being, and human beings are not always going to be perfect. It's always been that way, right? I mean, I am sure that some of you at some point in time caved to somebody else. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a spouse. Maybe you've actually bought a car warranty because you were so sick of those people calling your cell phone all the time. You eventually just said, fine, I will take your car warranty, just never call me again. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's what sales are based on a lot of times. It's that persistence, that over and over, nag, 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 until sometimes people just cave. I mean, that's what we heard about in today's gospel reading, isn't it? I mean, we hear this unjust judge who apparently isn't even that nice of a guy. You know, it said he had no respect for people and no fear of God. And so this woman, this widow, kept coming to him day in and day out. Grant me justice against my opponent. Grants me justice against my opponent. Day in and day out, all the time. And finally, he had had enough. Now, he's a judge. He could have, you know, sent her away penniless or whatever. But he said, you know what? I got no respect for people. I have no fear of God. But because this woman keeps coming to me and I just want her to shut up so I can have some peace, I'm going to give her what she wants because she is wearing me out. And so he did. And so Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And how much more will God grant to those he chooses? You see, this isn't about persistence necessarily, and it's not about dealing with people nagging you. This is about prayer. It says it in the very first verse. It says Jesus taught them to pray without ceasing. It says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. To keep praying and praying and praying and not to lose heart. Because you see, there are some things you need to be aware of. In the parable, first of all, you had this widow woman. And a widow woman, they were sort of the bottom of the scale in that community. And a judge would have been way up here. And so he had no reason to grant her anything. In fact, he had no reason to even listen to her. This poor woman, not only was she a widow, she couldn't even find a man to come and advocate on her behalf. And so she had to speak for herself. She was all alone. And so she did all that she could do, and she just kept nagging and nagging and nagging until he gave in. And so, in the same way, we have a God who is so much better than all of us, and yet listens to us anyway. But at the same time, we have an unjust judge who grants to this woman just for some peace. But we have a God who loves us. We have a God who loves us more than we can ever imagine. One that loves us so much that he sent Jesus to give his life for us. So how much more will he grant to us? You know, the whole thing reminds me of a story. Have you ever seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption? It's a great movie. It was out a long time ago. And it's about a guy named Andy Dupree who is convicted of murder, even though he was a completely innocent man. And while he's in prison, he was an educated guy, and he wanted to read. But this was set back in the 50s, and you know, prisons were worse off then than they are now, and so he needed to set up a library. So he started writing to the Department of Corrections, a letter a week, we need a library, we need a library, we need a library. And then one day, the guards come in and say, you've got a bunch of boxes here for you, and you need to get rid of them. So he opens the letter that was with it, and it says, Mr. Dupree, thank you for writing us. Here's a check for $200 for books, and here are some used books that we're sending along with it. We consider this matter closed. Please don't write us anymore. So he looks at that letter, he smiles and said, awesome, that only took 6 years. I guess I'll write two letters a week now. That's the kind of persistence that we're talking about here. And so much so that wears them down. But my friends, our God doesn't tire of hearing from us. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, have we given up on God? Have we given up on the prayers that we pray being answered? You see, those who first heard Jesus tell this parable were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and they were in captivity from their Roman captors, and so they wanted to be set free, and they were praying and praying and praying, and it seemed as if their prayers weren't being answered. Then the first that were reading this, as Luke wrote it, they were waiting for the return of that Messiah. They were waiting for Jesus to come back. And they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for years, and they expected it at any time, and he wasn't coming. And so they were losing heart. And see, now here we are, thousands of years later, still praying the same prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." But it's so much more than that, right? I mean, we have all kinds of prayers, and we wonder if they're ever going to be answered. And we pray for healing, and we pray for health, and we pray for happiness. We pray for a job or a spouse or a child. We pray for our parents to get better. We pray all kinds of things. And the question is, have we lost heart? Have we lost trust in God? Because the question is, with that, do we pray like we should? I mean, I got to be honest with you. I struggle with this area of my faith life. You know, I know how important it is. I did go to school for this stuff. But you know what? I mean, other things come up, and my mind is going this way and this way. Yeah, I pray before meals, and, you know, I try to pray before bedtime, you know, right before I fall asleep. But do I have that constant communication with God that he's talking about here? And why not? Do I really trust that it's real? I hope so. But, you know, in our society, I think we're sort of downplaying the power of prayer. You know, it seems like nowadays, if you've got any kind of social media, that the word thought, the phrase thoughts and prayers got thrown out so much that now people sort of poke fun at it. And they'll say, "I don't need your thoughts and prayers. I need action." You know, have any of you heard that? Well, I got to disagree. I think that thoughts and prayers are action. But maybe we're not either trusting in the power of prayer, or we don't understand what prayer really is. Do we believe that God answers our prayers? Or do we think we're just talking into the ether? My friends, God does answer our prayers. We have a God who wants that kind of relationship with us. I mean, and that's what it's all about. When's the last time you had a relationship with somebody you didn't ever talk to? That's not a relationship, is it? Well, that's what we need to have with God, an open relationship where we can tell God anything, anything. It's okay to pray for a new bike. That's okay. I mean, if you'll tell your dad that, then you can tell your God that. That's the way it works. It's a relationship. And sometimes God will answer us just the way we want it. Sometimes it'll take longer than we want it. Sometimes it'll take shorter. Sometimes it will be completely different. Sometimes it'll feel as if a prayer isn't answered at all. But it is. I mean, look, for those of you who have children, do you not want your children to be happy? Would you not, within reason, give them anything they wanted? Now, I mean, but let's be honest. If your child comes to you and says, "I want to go out and play in I-20, no matter how many times they ask, you're not going to let them do that. I hope. Sometimes they ask for things that aren't good for them, just like sometimes we want things that aren't good for us. And we have a God who knows that. But sometimes there are also things that just aren't good right now. I mean, if your child comes to you and says, "I want a Ferrari," you'd love to give them that Ferrari. "I'd love to give me that Ferrari," you know? But it's tough. And so realize that we have a God who loves us so much more and can give us anything, but knows more than we do as well. I mean, we pray for the healing of someone, and yet they die. Does that mean the prayer isn't answered? See, God knows what's on the other side. God knows where real healing happens. And so, yes, God does answer that prayer. But I'm afraid sometimes we don't really understand what prayer does and what it means. St. Augustine, who is a famous Catholic theologian that lived in the 4th and 5th centuries, once said, pray as if everything depended on God. Work as if everything depended on you. I'll say it again. Pray as if everything depended on God. Work as if everything depended on you. You see, when we pray, God answers. And sometimes the answer to our prayer is you. You are sent to go out and do. You have been given two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, and a mouth. You have been given the strength and the knowledge to go and do what needs to be done. I once knew a woman who was watching 2020 one night, or 60 Minutes, one of those shows, and on that episode, they were talking about the orphanages in Romania and the deplorable conditions those poor children were living in. And she said, as I watched it, she said, it just broke my heart. And she said, I'll never forget, I was standing over the kitchen sink after that, just praying, dear God, do something for those children. And she said, then she received the answer. And within the year, she and her husband went to Romania and adopted a son. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is you. Thoughts and prayers leads to words and actions. That's what prayer is. And that's what God is calling us to do. That's part of the relationship, my friends. We have a God who loves us, who listens to us, who wants everything great for all of us, who wants to hear from us. Trust in that. Pray. Pray all that you can. Set up a time every day. Set an alarm, 5 minutes, and then make it 10 minutes, and then make it 20 minutes. Set some time every day to spend with the Almighty. Start this week. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll make y'all this promise from me. Today, I'm going to be driving up to the mountains. I will turn off for at least 5 minutes. I will turn off my radio, and if you know me, you know how bad silence hurts. I'm going to turn off my radio for at least 5 minutes and pray with my eyes open. But I'm going to spend that time with God. And I urge you to do the same. Take some time. Find some time. To spend with the Almighty, the one who wants to hear from you, and the one who always answers your prayers. Amen.